Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 80. Dave, I'm sitting in ESPN Studios, 3 days sitting in for Stan Saverin. All good stuff. Appreciated you being a guest on Wednesday. You kicked things off great for us. You have done a fabulous job of keeping Steeler fans up to date on where they sit in the salary cap. I know a lot of people in the media are piggybacking your work, the great salary cap stuff that you have up, all the information on your site. So thank you and congrats for all of that. Now wish me happy birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you.
How young are you?
I'm young.
You're 44 young, right?
Oh, I'm something around there, but that would be Henry Aaron, and I think I'm a tad older than Henry Aaron's number.
Oh, okay. Geez. You're older than I am.
Yes, I am.
I bet you don't look as weathered as I do, though.
well, I won't touch that either way, because I'm sure people who know me might argue the point without even looking at you.
Yeah, but you live like a 25-year-old, though, right?
That's why I might not look like a 25-year-old.
I hear you. Let's start with the salary cap situation, just to give everybody a quick glance, following the restructure yesterday by Ben Roethlisberger, which, by the way, that was a huge amount. That was a bigger amount than what I thought they were going to do. They basically took them all the way down to what they could as far as a base salary of $900,000 goes. So they took a big, big chunk of that and turned it, restructured it, turned it into a signing bonus and stretched it out. So, my latest projections, and of course this includes everybody getting tendered, including restricted free agents. It includes Mike Wallace being tendered at a first round level of $2.742 million. My best guess and my numbers tell me that the rule of 51 sits at 126,998,705 dollars. So I know that's chump change to you, David, but basically that's a hair up under 127 million. They're looking real great. Kevin Colbert said that he doesn't know exactly what the number is, but they're right there on top of where they need to be right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a minute here and talk about a couple things. One is, first of all, let's not worry too much about these restructurings. It would be different if you were restructuring guys who were late in their career and you were pushing it out a long time, if you were to do something like that with a guy like Casey Hampton, who probably at most has one season left with the Steelers. What our listeners should recognize is when you restructure Lawrence Timmons and Ben Roethlisberger Lamar Woodley, Willie Colon, and the fifth guy was
Ike Taylor,
right. Basically, other than Willie Colon, you can guarantee that those other three guys are virtually certain to be with the Steelers the next 3 years. It would be some unfortunate injury, something happens. Those three guys are going to be with the Steelers for the next 3 years while they're under contract. So that money's going to get paid to them one way or another. And it's good. The number's going to be a tad higher, but there's not going to be a lot of dead money coming forward in the cap because of what the Steelers are doing. And because we know 2 years from now with the new TV contract kicking in and that the cap number ballooning to some degree, the Steelers are not deferring, meeting their maker. It's not like they're pushing off the pain. They're doing this. It should alleviate the – it has alleviated the situation this year. Next year should be workable, and then going forward, they should be in really good shape. So this is not the U.S. budget deficit where it's, your kids are going to have to worry about it. This is the Steelers doing great stuff here. And the thing that has just absolutely pissed me off for 2 weeks is how dumb the national media is, and then how dumb the Pittsburgh media is for following the national media and not doing the work themselves. Now, this is not across the board. Some guys in the Pittsburgh media got it right. But, man, I was going to kill myself on this Mike Wallace talk. And as I've said from the very beginning, I think it was, you know, less than a 10% chance that Mike Wallace leaves. After Kevin Colbert's comments yesterday, after Ben restructuring, I put it at less than 5% chance that Mike Wallace leaves. And I absolutely loved Kevin Colbert's comment where he said, look, we hold all the cards. You want to come get them? You can come get them. And you're making it. You're taking a big risk because you're going to lose your number one pick if we let him walk, and you're going to have to pay him a ton of money, and you're going to have to balloon your cap up front because we can match virtually anything you do. I think one of the beat writers said it was a bit of a shot across the bow to the rest of the league. I love that terminology. Omar Khan and Kevin Colbert know what the hell they're doing. In those guys, we trust. I loved your Khan picture that you put up on Twitter last night. You said you wanted a Khan fathead. All right. I'm going to put my, you know, put my peacock feathers out and say I had this from the get-go. The Steelers are right where they want to be. They knew what was going on. This stuff did not sneak up on them. I am not at all surprised, and they're in good shape. They got more to go, and they got room. I love what they've done, and it's all good. I just say it's all good, and I called it. There, thanks.
It was no surprise to me either. I'm a big fan of Omar Khan, and once you learn how this salary cap stuff works, look, you know, where Omar Khan is the best, David, you know, people say, oh, wow, look, he waved a magic pen, and he restructured these contracts and all like that. That's not a secret what he did, okay, with turning – base salary into signing bonus money and spreading out. Where Omar Khan is a genius is structuring the contracts from the very get-go.
That's the point. Yep.
And you could see evidence of this if you look at the contracts of both Lamar Woodley and Lawrence Timmons that they signed last year, okay? Because the upfront money was kind of, and people get lost in the word guaranteed. Now, these two guys, Woodley had a $5.5 million roster bonus in this year, the second year of his contract. Timmons had a $4.5 million roster bonus in this year, the second year of his contract. That, even though it was kind of, you know, termed guaranteed money, it really isn't, because had those guys went down, you know, with a significant career-ending injury, they would have never got that money. And what the way those contracts were structured was, is when they got to this point right now where they had to restructure, they were able to take those roster bonuses, combine it with a good portion of their base salary for this season, turn it into a signing bonus, and amortize it, prorate it out. So, you know, let's not get caught up with how good of a job that Omar has this magic book or this magic wand of what he's doing with his contracts. Where Omar needs to be praised the most is the initial contract negotiations on these new contracts. That's where he is a master on this.
Yeah, good stuff all around by those guys. You know, we have until March 5th when the Steelers make a decision to put the what's going to be the first round tender or the franchise tag on Mike Wallace. I think it's generally almost universally agreed, and I'll endorse this because it's where I've stood from the beginning. They'll put the first round tender on him, and look, somebody could still come calling and sign him to an offer sheet, but the whole process looks like it's going to play out, and I expect Mike Wallace to be under contract next year at $2.7 million. And if that's the case, the Steelers are going to be in very good shape. Doesn't mean they're going to go out and get one of the guard from the Saints at, you know, $7 million to add as a free agent. But they're going to have room to make decisions and maybe sign some of their own. And I'm looking at you, Jericho Cotchery. So we'll see how that plays out going forward. Dave, I don't know if we touched on Tuesday when the news came out that Ben and Haley finally spoke. Much ado about nothing. We're in general agreement here. This thing went on. I think we did touch on it briefly in our podcast on Tuesday. As soon as they had that conversation, everybody got to talk about it for 30 seconds. That's old news now and not a big deal. But he did talk to Charlie Batch, and the Steelers have a quarterback situation confronting them. They only have one quarterback under contract. It's actually highly likely that Leftwich and Batch will be back. Is that where you kind of stand at the moment?
Yeah, and I even had my free agent write-up analysis on them this past week on both those guys before Colbert spoke yesterday at the NFL Combine. And you know, there's a great situation. I mean, it's a great possibility that they were, and Colbert pretty much confirmed that yesterday. Look, these guys are going to be left, you know, they're when free agency hits, they're not going to be the guys that are gone after. They're not going to be sought after, especially Leftwich, because of his, you know, he's only played, you know, he's almost missed two full seasons the last 2 years with injuries. And Charlie Batch, look at his age and look at Batch. He wants to stay in Pittsburgh anyway, and I know Leftwich probably does too. So they'll let those guys ride out for a little while, and the good thing about them being veterans is come time when the Steelers need to get them under contract for one more year, these guys can sign what's called a qualifying contract for a veteran where they are paid a base salary of what their minimum would be for that year. They're paid the modest sign-in bonus that fits up underneath the qualifying contract parameters, which I think this year is going to be like $55,000 or $60,000 signing bonus, and then their cap hit will be that of a fourth-year player. So third or fourth-year player, I don't remember the exact parameters on that. I think it's a fourth-year player. It would be the cap charge. So you're paying one thing, you get charged at the cap for another thing, another price on there, and those two guys will get you by for another year as backups to Ben Roethlisberger. So I'm with you. I fully endorse it, and I fully see that happening.
Other news on Steeler front, obviously the combine going on today, and I know you've already started putting up the measurements that come out, the height and weight stuff. We'll have 40 times. I think we go into position groups on the field, full coverage on the NFL Network tomorrow through the middle of next week. Any kind of, you know, anything jumping out at you from the only thing that I saw that I've taken note of so far is RG3 came in at 6'2¾", I think. I don't know if it's 3/4 or 3/8, but above 6'2", and that seems to allay anybody's concerns that maybe he was a little shorter than that. You know, I don't know that being 6'1 or 6'2½ is a marked difference, but people are now very comfortable with his size, and he's going to definitely look like go number two now in the draft.
Yeah, I thought one thing that jumped out for me that just confirmed, you know, you get these Senior Bowl numbers sometimes, and sometimes they're a little bit different than the NFL combine measurements and all like that. But Cordy Glenn, the tackle/guard from Georgia, who I had in my first mock draft, the arms on this guy, 35¾ arms, and his hands 10⅛". So I think that jumped out at me a little bit. Quick lesson. I always, for people that not used to looking at these combine numbers, when you see them on SteelersDepot.com, you'll see the height is a four-digit number, and that oftentimes will confuse a few people. What that is in eighths. Okay, so if you see, let's take for example a kid like David DeCastro, the guard out of Stanford, his number is 6047. What that stands for is 6'4⅞". So that last number is always the eighth of an inch. So of course, if you saw a four as the last number, that would be a half an inch. So just a quick rundown on that. And these are starting to come in today. As soon as I get off the podcast, I'll be updating the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and the running backs who are measuring in today. And of course, we'll have the lifting numbers coming in, the bench press numbers coming in today from the offensive linemen and tight ends as well. So, you know, we'll start getting a good look at how these kids basically, quote unquote, measure up, if you will.
Yeah, and for those who might be interested, on the podcast, I was in for Stan Saverin all this week. The podcasts are up on 970ESPN.com. I won't put you to anything other than Matt Williamson, who I had on today, and we had a nice 15-minute chat about some of the Steeler stuff and about the combine. If you don't know some of the nuts and bolts, Dave and I went through it a little bit on Tuesday, but you can hear my conversation with Matt if you go to the podcast there. It should be segment 3 of hour 1 for those of you who are interested. Dave.
Let me tag on to that real quick. I had a good little kind of a Twitter banter last night with Matt himself late last night. It's in my Twitter line, and Matt's going to be coming back on the Terrible Podcast with us to discuss post-combine type stuff, so we'll get him scheduled up for that as well.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm looking forward to that. He's always a good guy to talk to, and a Pittsburgh guy living in Upper St. Clair. So an added bonus there. Also, I'll just mention that Dave was on the show on Wednesday. I don't remember exactly what segment it was. Do you remember what time you were on, Dave, on Wednesday, 10:30 or?
I want to say 11:30, I think.
Okay, so that'll be an hour two, and probably segment two or three in hour two. So if you want to hear a lot of, you know, a lot of what we talked about on Tuesday, salary cap stuff, and we've covered some of the other stuff today. So it may be a bit redundant, but if you're not getting enough of the dulcet tones of Dave Bryan and David Todd, you can get some more there. Dave, you know, it looks like we might have, you know, I hesitate to even say it, other than the comment, we might have a little bit of a breather in Steeler news. The big stuff that's going to come out, and it looks like it'll probably come out this weekend, and better come out soon, because otherwise teams are really going to be scrambling. We should get the final cap number this weekend. That looks like it's going to come in the, you know, 120s, 125, low 120s, somewhere in there. And it'll be interesting to see, because guys have missed low a little bit by a couple million dollars the past few years. So it'd be interesting to see if that, where that number exactly comes in. And, you know, again, I'll point back to some of the guys writing about things, saying Hines Ward was being essentially disrespected by the Steelers because they didn't make decisions and haven't given them, told them how, what they're going to do. Kevin Colbert said it just right yesterday. Look, would you let us just get the numbers and follow the NFL calendar so we can make good decisions, the best decisions we need to make? It's a business. Everybody understands it. You know, they're not going to make a decision on Hines Ward until they have all the facts, maybe see what happens with Mike Wallace. This is not about disrespecting anybody. It's doing what's best for the franchise. So that number will give us a little bit more clarity going forward, and then we'll see what the Steelers do with the guys like Chris Kimoatu, Larry Foote, and the other guys that we've talked about ad nauseum here over the past week.
And we ad nauseum a little bit more. I have Mark Caballi interview coming up in the second half of this show. We discuss a little bit more Mike Wallace, Aaron Smith, Casey Hampton, Chris Kimoatu, stuff like that as well, too. So make sure you do stay tuned for that. You hit on the cap number as well, too, and there's already starting to be some talk, although I don't want to put this as anything firm and anything more in speculation, that the 2013 cap number should come in around $10 million higher thereabouts than 2000 and whatever 2012 number come in. So I just want to preface that by saying nothing is guaranteed. It's all based on the revenue, of course, and all like that. And of course, we know, and you mentioned earlier that the 2014, when the new TV deals kick in, that it'll go up pretty much exponentially from there. You also hit on a good point that I didn't get a tag on when talking about the 2013 situation as far as these restructures. I have a post on this right before the Ben Roethlisberger restructure, and they're not in bad shape right now. And if it holds true that this $10 million increase in 2013 for the salary cap projection is indeed right, these guys are really going to be in good shape in that direction. Goes in, plus they'll be right in the middle, almost complete with a shift to a younger roster as well, too. So don't fret about these restructures. And as you said, Kevin Colbert and Omar Khan, it's not like this stuff sneaks up on them all of a sudden.
Dave, there's a tweet that just came across my timeline from Pro Football Talk, and it says, NFL considers head-to-head races at the Combine. I just have three things to say to that. Greatest idea ever. I mean, you put two wide receivers out there and let them go head-to-head when they're running the 40, drag race them. I mean, this, you want to talk about entertainment value? I love it.
I don't know. You know what the Players Association is going to say, though.
Those guys aren't members of the Players Association.
I know, but you know they're gonna try to fight probably for these guys, though. They're gonna probably say, "Oh, that's just what we need is these guys blowing out a hammy in these things."
Well, come on, it's not like they're, you know, come on, they're busting their butt anyway. This is their future. It's not gonna be any different.
I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just telling you what some of the backlash is. But yeah, you know, I like the idea. I would like to see, you know, we hear about all these times these guys saying, well, I could beat so-and-so in a race, but they never race head-to-head. If you have that stuff on tape going back to the Combine, yeah, that'd be good stuff. I'd like to see Mike Wallace run one of these faster cornerbacks in the league, you know, back in the day. But yeah, that's interesting.
I want to throw in my last 2 cents about Mike Wallace. I'm a little surprised that Steeler fans all of a sudden feel like getting a number one draft pick is fair value for Mike Wallace. Like, you know, you would actually go out and make that trade in the real world. Let's just take a step back. Look, there's no question Mike Wallace was a disappointment in the second half because of the unbelievably good first half he had. But I heard somebody say, you know, that's kind of, yeah, I actually heard a talk show host this morning, a sports radio talk show host this morning when I was driving in. I was so pissed off, I almost drove off the road, say that, you know, yeah, maybe the Steelers would be better off with just a first-round pick. Get that idea out of your head. Mike Wallace is a Pro Bowl receiver, and he should have been in the Pro Bowl last year. And, yes, he had a drop-off in the second half this year, but this is a guy who is an elite talent. You know, the Steelers have done it tremendously well with their first-round draft picks lately, but the odds of getting a Pro Bowl player are not 50%. And you've got a Pro Bowl receiver who, if things work out now and they can have him at $2.7 million, that's a huge bargain. Now, it's going to get more expensive maybe going forward, or if they sign a longer-term deal, you're going to pay him more. But let's not get confused here that Mike Wallace is not an elite football player. He is. He is a valuable guy. Yeah, he had a disappointing, you know, 7, 8, 9 games there at the end of the season. But the whole idea, like, Steeler fans get things in their mind and they get stuck there. You want Mike Wallace on your football team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We trade these guys away like it's a fantasy football league, like a first-round draft pick is nothing as well, too. So, one half a bad season does not make the man. Now, on the flip side, Mike Wallace does have his warts, and we have discussed those before. But as Kevin Colbert said yesterday, you know, that this guy really scratching kind of the tip of the iceberg of what this guy can do. He's only 3 seasons into his career, and really 2.5 if you really look at his rookie season there, and now he's going to be going to a new offense here with Todd Haley, and you know, he's going to have his franchise quarterback with him a lot of these years moving forward as well, too. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's amazing how quick they want to throw stuff out with the bathwater here. And to be honest with you, David, I really don't even think it gets to the franchise. I mean, to the first round tender stage. I really am convinced that something happens here over the course of this week, and I think they lock him up to a long-term deal that'll have a first-year cap hit number around, you know, $3-4.5 million, right around in there.
I think that the long-term, I would look for the long-term deal to be something like with the signing bonus, so that's going to affect things. But I think Mike Wallace, you know, getting I think you hit it right on the head with the Ike Taylor deal. If you get Mike Wallace for 4 years at $6.5 million, something along those lines, I just don't see him holding out for a lot more than that. There are not many. There are only, I think, 3 receivers in the league, and they're, you know, Megatron, Larry Fitzgerald. I'm not going to get this just right. Andre Johnson. I think that, you know, who are $9 million receivers. So, you know, he's a cut below that, and I don't know if that's $6.5 million or $7.5 million, but I think that's kind of fair market value. And if the Steelers can lock him up for 4 years around those numbers, I think all sides should be relatively pleased with that.
Yeah, I think it's going to come in anywhere from you use the term average, average year. I mean, that's really a false number when you get into what the guaranteed money is and what the salary cap is. But just throwing out a total value of a contract, you know, I think it would break down to an average year of anywhere from $7 to $9.5 million, right around in there. I think that's his market value. I think they'll understand that as these negotiations go on down there in Indianapolis. And like I said, I would not be surprised if we have a deal before March 5th, before they even have to place this first-round tender on him.
Okay, good stuff. I think we've hammered all the Steeler points, and as I said, I'm sure we'll have more news, but, you know, we'll see how that cap number comes out. Around the NFL, I don't know that all that much is interesting. We saw the kid from – we talked about it on Tuesday, the kid from Oakland, Sanford Root, signed with Kansas City. It means Brandon Carr is probably out of Kansas City, be a cornerback, expensive, out on the market. There hasn't been a lot of other movement yet, as expected. Most front offices are completely focused on the combine now, and they'll get into their free agency stuff later. So, the continuing Peyton Manning saga – the Matt Flynn issue, and I will say Matt Williamson said when we were talking about, he said now he will kill Cleveland. Yeah, this was relatively entertaining. He said he will kill Cleveland if they now don't trade up and get RG3. And he again talked about playing in the Northwest, in the Northeast, you need a big arm quarterback when the weather's cold and the wind's blowing. And he said, you know, you have a guy like Ben, you have Eli, you have these guys with big arms. He said Colt McCoy is not that guy. He said Matt Flynn is not that guy. And the Browns yesterday pretty much took themselves completely out of the Matt Flynn situation. So it looks like it's going to be Colt McCoy or RG3. But it was funny to hear Matt say that he would kill Cleveland. And when he says that, you know, he has the forum to do it if they don't move up and take him number two.
Yeah, absolutely. That's interesting. And I'm with you. I think they should do anything they can to get RG3, although I'm not too thrilled about having to face, you know, I'd much rather have Colt McCoy, but just for my own selfish reasons there. But, yeah, I could certainly see that as well as an option. Wrapping up, you know, as you said, there's not really much going on around the rest of the league here, so let's wrap up a couple of Steeler tidbits here. The exclusive free agents of the Steelers, that being Isaac Redman, Steve McClendon, and Jeremy Kapanos, all those guys have been tendered their one-year deals that they must sign, so that has been done. The other thing that we heard Kevin Colbert say outside of the Leftwich and Bat situation was Dennis Dixon likely to be elsewhere next year. That's not a real surprise whatsoever there. I found his comments about Jonathan Dwyer on Sirius Radio kind of interesting, where he said that Dwyer really has to keep his weight in check. And, you know, Dwyer had his knocks first couple of years here about maybe his motivation, about his passion for the game and all like that. Colbert spoke highly of him outside of that, but, you know, that's something to look like he fired a little shot across the bow through the media at Jonathan Dwyer and his weight there. So outside of that, the Colbert pressers are behind us for a little while now. We're all on the NFL Combine right now as well. So, you know, that's what I'll be doing the rest of this week.
All right, good stuff. As you said, Mark Cabali of the Trib, a great guy to follow on Twitter. You and I both banter with him on a regular basis about what's going on with the Steelers. Don't always come to the same conclusions, but he's a good guy, and Dave got at it with him here. So we'll throw it to that, and we'll be back with you too. I'll be back with you Tuesday. So let's give it to Dave and Mark.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast. I'm pleased to be joined once again by a good friend of the show. He is one of the Steelers beat writers for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Of course, I am talking about the great Mark Cabali. Mark, welcome back to the Terrible Podcast.
I don't think I've ever been introduced as the great of anything, so I appreciate that.
I don't feel bad. I haven't either. Well, busy week, Mark, of course. NFL Combine getting started in Indianapolis. Kevin Colbert, of course, had his meeting not only with the press conference at the Combine, but then he sat down, I think, with the media after that. And I know Ken Laird has all the transcripts up on the Trib Live Radio website to go through, and I've combed through those. Colbert also spent time on Sirius NFL XM Radio yesterday as well, too, and I combed through all that. Let's start with what some things that he said yesterday, in your opinion. I know it's hard to pick out what actually is truth and what actually is just smokescreen, but what struck you the most, or what stuck out the most yesterday in the things that Kevin Colbert said?
I would say maybe not what he said, but how he said it. I believe that how he said, how he talked about Mike Wallace and how they want him back, and almost how they expect him to be back, was quite interesting, because we all know where they're at on their salary cap, and with free agency coming up, and they're not probably going to be able to tag him so he can go look out. But Colbert seemed extremely confident. It's just a matter of time before Mike Wallace gets some sort of a deal done here, which was took me back a little bit. How confident he was, Dave.
Yeah, you know, and I wrote about this earlier in the week, or late last week, when I sat back and went through all, you know, I kind of break it down as a body of evidence, I guess, and then when you date all the way back to Art Rooney II's his press conference after the season, usually when he says a guy's a priority, a guy's a priority, and you're right that Kevin Colbert pretty much you know, made it sound like, hey, they're going to get him locked up. And I think me and you both can agree that I think we can expect a deal before we even get to the March 5th deadline.
You know, that could happen, but if I was Mike Wallace, I would see absolutely no reason why to do that. I don't know why that would benefit him at all. He's gotten to this point right now. He's probably going to get the high tender put on him, which means he'll get his $2.6 million guaranteed next year until the Steelers would rework his contract, but why not go out and see what's there right now? Maybe a team throws a crazy, crazy number at him at the restricted free agent market, that be able to set him up for the next five or 6 years. I mean, I don't see what would hurt him doing that right now with the fallback plan of, if nobody does offer me, I can always sign back with the Steelers at their high tender, then work on a deal, then probably sign a nice deal sometime in July or August. So if I was me, Buzz Cook, and that we know how he works, that might be what your way they are doing, because it's not going to benefit him at all, because he knows what he's going to get right now. What I think is interesting, too, is how, I mean, even myself included, how much we might be overestimating the play on Mike Wallace in the restricted free agent. Well, it seems like a smart idea for teams to come out and, you know, take a run at Mike Wallace. But you know what? Teams, we have to learn, is are not really excited about giving up a first-round pick, regardless if they got one or two, in addition to giving a pretty nice salary to a guy. Maybe we're overestimating really what kind of look he's going to get on the restricted free agent market, if he would get an offer at all.
And I agree with that. And based on what you said just in that reply, this is where I want to kind of play good cop, bad cop with you. You know, the Steelers can play hardball, though, too. Now, you said, why wouldn't, if he's come this far, test free agency? And my rebuttal back to that is, you know, when it gets down to crunch time, if it gets down to March 3rd or March 4th before they have to issue out a restricted tender or whatnot, I think we both can agree that it's not going to be the franchise tag. I at this point, I'd be surprised if it was the franchise tag. But, you know, they could go to Mike Wallace and say, look, you know, this is the deal now. We've discussed this thing. If you go into free agency, you better damn sure hope that you get an offer sheet from somebody, because if not, we're going to ride you on this $2.7 million tender for the whole season there. And thus, if you have a bad season, or if you get injured in 2012, your market value's gone to crap, and you didn't reach your payday. So how would you rebuttal if you're Mike Wallace and I came at you that angle?
I would say that would be the chance I would have to take to be able to do something like that, because you know what? Even if Mike Wallace knows, Buzz Cook knows, that that's a very highly unlikely scenario, that if he does just accept the tender, that they're not going to try to re-sign him long-term in August, in July. So he might have to just bite the bullet for a couple months. I was sure the Steelers would come at him just like you would said he did right there and say, hey, there's no guarantee you're going to be around next year. But if it was me, a couple weeks, a couple months, I would take that chance, because I don't think that's going to hurt him. I think Mike Wallace is very, very valuable to the Steelers. The Steelers know that. I think Mike Wallace knows that. I think Mike Wallace knows that, you know, it's not always greener on the other side, man. Just because you're successful with one organization doesn't mean you're going to be successful with another organization. So, like I said, I mean, you got valid points there. I mean, the Steelers can do that and say, hey, we've gotten rid of Plexico Burris, Antonio Holmes, Nate Washington, so you know, you're just another receiver in the line. We can replace you if you want that, but I don't think that will happen. But we don't really know what's going to happen. If I was a betting man, I would wait. I would say receive the tender. He doesn't get any offer sheets for restricted free agent, signs the tender, and the Steelers long-term deal him sometime in June or July. But there's always a point that if the Steelers believe that they might have a chance, like New England Patriots come in and sign him to a big, big restricted free agent offer sheet, that they won't be able to match it, then that would be a reason why the Steelers would sign him probably within the next week or so.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, if any team was smart and they had the cap room, And let's face it, the Patriots can go to the bank of Brady just the way the Steelers just went to the bank of Roethlisberger and clear even more cap room. Now, I know the Patriots have got to get Wes Welker re-upped and all like that. But, you know, if the Patriots are going to make a sign Wallace to an offer sheet, if indeed he only has a first-round tender placed on him, you would think that they would make it a tough enough offer sheet that the Steelers would not be able to match it. Kind of saying, you know, okay, well, here's some upfront money. Here's a $10 million and $8 million roster bonus right up front that we know that the Steelers can't eat salary cap-wise. So, it is a gamble to just throw him out there on the first-round tender. But as you said, Maybe we are overvaluing the worth of Mike Wallace in relation to a first-round draft pick, and plus in the supply and demand type setting, when you look at the other free agent wide receivers out there that would not cost a team a first-round draft pick because they are unrestricted, then maybe we are overvaluing, even though he is one of the top receivers in the league.
You know, another thing is the only team I probably would be worried about to doing that would be New England, because, you know what, you got the Welker underneath, you got the Brady still in his prime, you got the two tight ends. When New England was at their best with a couple years ago is when they had Randy Moss able to stretch the field. They haven't had that the past couple years. Mike Wallace would probably fit into that system tremendously, open things up for Brady. Patriots do have two first-round picks. That could be an issue that the Steelers might not want to take a chance on.
Exactly. When you go back over the quotes, and I know Bill Belichick does not give great press conferences at all. In fact, he gives such crappy press conferences, I watch every damn one of them. I don't know what the attraction is to that. But, I mean, a few times when he has spoke about Mike Wallace, he has spoke very high. Now, we don't know how much of that is lip service, but I think he realizes what Wallace is, and that's a deep threat, a guy that can take the top off of coverages. And I think it would indeed be a upgrade over Deion Branch for them.
You know, there's a couple guys on the free agent market that they could probably get the same way, probably with the same money, and not cost them a first-round pick either. So Belichick loves those picks. You know what he loves to do? He loves to get rid of one of those picks in the first round to get extra picks later in later drafts. So, I mean, you can have an argument both ways. Why not just sign a unrestricted guy off the heap and save your first-round pick too? So that's always an option too for the Patriots. And then once again, that's something that Mike Wallace is going to have to take into account for if the Steelers offer him a contract right now, and if he wants to wait, or if he wants to see if somebody like the Patriots are willing to throw some money at him.
How much do you think Mike Wallace, and we'll close up the talk on Wallace here, because I know it can get nauseating a little bit, but how much do you think Wallace is hearing from some of the teammates of his about the age-old saying that, and several players who have left Pittsburgh and actually come back a second time have said, hey, you know, the grass is not always greener on the other side. How much do you think he's hearing that from other players?
I'm sure he's not hearing it as much because, you know, these players are brothers, so to speak, and what they're probably telling him is go get yours because you're not going to be in this game that long. The grass might not be greener on the other side, but sometimes the money is. So that's one thing you guarantee any player you talk to, they'll always tell you, you know, it's a business, and he got to do what's best for his family and get the most, which is translation, get the most money you can while you can. So they would hate to see him go, but they're not going to hold anything against him and tell him to stay for less money. They'd never do something like that.
I lied. One more question about Wallace. That interview you gave on Sirius NFL Radio, that looked like classic posturing to me. It looked like Bus Cook really said, hey, you need to call in, get on a national radio show, and let them know how you're not afraid to go anywhere else. Posturing, in your opinion?
Absolutely. The only thing I'm disappointed in this day of age is Twitter and everything else. Why didn't Bus Cook tell Mike Wallace to call me? I could have got it out there for him instead of the NFL, right?
Exactly.
But absolutely. The timing of it's just curious, right? And he let it know to his fans that he wants to be back. However, he left it out there that he would be interested to get somewhere else. It's just all part of the game. Steve was well aware of that because they play the same game sometimes, too, if you see or hear some of the NFL Network reports that are seemingly leaked out. That's a lot of posturing done, too. Mike Tomlin getting his word out there, too. So take it for what it's worth.
Right now, I have projected with all the tenders and all like that, which we know the exclusive rights free agents have been tendered. We do not know that the restricted, I doubt that they've been tendered yet. I asked Ramon Foster the other day, didn't sound like he had signed his, or had received his tender yet. You know, they're probably holding on, waiting to see what's going on, Mike Wallace. But even if factoring all those in, I have the rule of 51 number just under $127 million, which, A, makes me think that maybe $127 million is what they're kind of thinking that the cap number might be going forward. But outside of that, we've seen the five restructures, the two contract terminations of Brian McFadden, and Arnez Battle, and we've seen Omar trim off over $29 million since the almost at the end of the first week of February. So it's been about 17 days ago, and now we have left Casey Hampton, who Colbert said you know, it's looking like he's going to be on the roster next year, and I believe him when he says that. Now, the only thing is of course the cap hit that Casey Hampton has is scheduled to be $8.057 nearly $1 million, and if you cut him, you save $5.89 million. So there's some wiggle room in there, and is that what you're expecting them to do? Once they get past this Mike Wallace situation, do you expect him to have that base salary lowered?
Yeah, you know, when Kevin Colbert said that he expects him to be on the roster next year, that he didn't mention anything about Casey taking a little bit less money to stay on this roster. So that could be an angle that the Steelers are looking at, too, because, you know, 34-year-old nose tackles who weigh 350 pounds who are coming off a knee injury aren't really in demand a lot around the league. I'm sure he could find a job somewhere, but not at $8 million a season, that's probably for sure. So I wouldn't be shocked if he somehow took some sort of a less money to stay on the roster. You know, they got a lot of wiggle room of who they can release. So they find out what the actual salary cap number will be, they'll proceed to start releasing people then, just for the fact that you don't really want to release people right now when you don't maybe not have to release them if the number comes in a certain way. So as for Hampton, I think he will be on the team. I think he needs to be on the team, but I think they might rework his contract coming up here going forward as well.
Have you heard anything about how he's recovering from the ACL surgery? Anything update on his progress?
Yeah, I saw him about a week or so ago at the Southside facility, and he was still on a single crutch walking around. But, you know, I talked to Max Starks the other day at the Southside facility for a while, and he was describing his knee injury and what it is. I mean, it's not the fact that he can walk around or feeling good or have great mobility. It's about how they repair the actual ACL and how a tendon has to turn into a ligament, and that's the timing there. So even if Casey Hampton's walking around looking good, that doesn't really mean he can play right away. He's probably definitely less time than somebody like Mendenhall would need to cut and stuff, but I can see him being ready for the, you know, at the worst, week two or week three of the season. I don't think he'd have to stay on the PUP list and miss the first half of the season. I think he'd be ready to go early on, maybe taking it slow into training camp and into the first of the year, and that's why I probably split in time with McClendon during the season. But I think he's going to be fine. I don't think the issue of the ACL is going to be fine. But to answer your question, it's hard to really judge how the rehab's going because, you know, it's an injury that you may look fine at, but you won't be able to play at until we see him in training camp.
I guess my biggest concern is all this downtime that he has, gaining more, you know, coming in out of shape and all. because of not being able to work out and all. So I guess we'll really see how disciplined he is once again. I think the year that he got his contract, though, he was coming off of a surgery that year as well. I mean, his restructure. I think he was coming off of a year of a knee injury that year as well, too, although I think it happened earlier in the year that year. So
you know what, Dave, as Casey always tells me, my job's not that hard. I either go left or I go right or I go straight. So, you know, let's call for what it's worth. Casey Hansen just needs to have enough stability in his leg just to hold up a blocker or two. He doesn't have to really reinvent the game. So when we put that in perspective, I don't think that he needs to come into camp in great shape. And better yet is, has he ever worked out in the offseason, you know?
What kind of read do you have on the Kemo Atu situation? Do you think there, you know, he's going to be what, you know, Colbert said there's a couple more cuts coming. Do you think he's going to be one, or do you think they'll at least wait until after the draft to see what they get in the draft?
I'm sure he's up there high on the list of possibilities of the cut. What the average person doesn't realize is Kemo Atu played through a ton of injuries last year. A ton of injuries that were bothering as he was playing, from the knee to the hand, and it really, really affected not only his physical play, but his mental play preparing to play. I mean, he told me right before, I believe, the Denver game that he was still hurting, and it really, really took him late into the week to be able to get ready to play, and it really messed with his mental grasp of the game plan, which then in turn, he struggled on the field, and you'd see some holdings and see some offsides and see some other dumb plays. Myself, if he gets his head straight, I think he's one of the better offensive linemen the Steelers have. Now, is he one of the better offensive linemen at the number he's going to command at the salary? Probably not. So I'm sure that when the number comes in, they'll evaluate that and probably see if they do have to once again rework his contract, which – he's another one with Casey, I believe, would be a great candidate to take less money to stay, because how much is he going to be valued to on outside the organization? I don't know a ton. And if you know Chris Kemo Atu, he's a very simple man, and money doesn't really mean a lot to him. So I could see him taking a pay cut in a heartbeat just to stay around. And if he does that, I'd welcome him back and give him a great shot to start in the season again.
Yeah, and at worst, he could be a great backup to, if they do draft a young tackle. Of course, Kemo Atu could at least start the season until his wheels come off or something like that. The biggest thing I worry about is that arthritic knee, and then, you know, Scott Brown wrote about that pretty extensively, I think, prior to during last training camp or so, and he ended up having to have that thing drained a couple of times during the season, and it's not like those things magically get better either. It's almost like there might be some micro fracture in there or something like that along with the arthritic knee. But I'm with you. If they could get that number down, I know he did. He has not had a couple of good seasons, as of late, back to back here. But remember, this is a guy that the Steelers locked up for a long term, a few years back there. And I think you could do worse for a backup, that could, a guy that's got the experience that he has, to come in off the bench should the need arise.
And he is a devastating blocker. And you know, you have to wonder if how valued he is right now in the Todd Haley offense, because we're not quite sure what kind of plays, running plays he calls. We know Kemo Atu was tremendous on his power plays or his counter plays, being able to knock people out of the way. And I don't know if Todd Haley's game entails a lot of that, so that could go a long way, too, in determining if the Steelers would want him back now or not. If you just need a guard, Ramon Foster's a perfect example. He's a guy that's not going to wow you in any way, shape, or form, but he does just enough right to get in front of people, to block, to tie up some players, just, you know, to be able to be successful. If you're looking for those type of offensive linemen, then very, Chris Kemo Atu is very expendable.
I'm talking with Mark Cabali, Pittsburgh Tribune Review Steelers beat writer. You can follow Mark on Twitter at @MarkCabali_trib. For everything Steelers related, breaking news and all like that. Mark does a great job. Aaron Smith, Mark, what's the latest you're hearing on him? Is he going to retire?
know, you would think if he was going to retire, he would have done it by now. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I haven't really heard anything or saw anything or saw anybody talk about him whatsoever. So, you know, that once again could be, I mean, what would it hurt to offer, I mean, bring him back, and if he doesn't have it, you know, let him go, announce his retirement, so to speak, with little finger quote marks around it during the training camp when he knows he can't go. Because what's the worst that can happen? If you have them salaries cap space, which maybe they will, maybe they don't, he's not going to eat up a ton of that. But, you know, if Aaron Smith does come back healthy, motivated, ready to play, you know, he's still a pretty good, pretty doggone good 3-4 end in this league. So maybe they give him another chance to come back to see if he wants to. And if he can't, then he would hang him up. But you would think, like Chris Hokey last month, is if he decided to move on already, wouldn't he have moved on already? But the Steelers also can come in here in another couple weeks or so, a week or so, you know, whenever this cap number comes out and says we do have to move him, then that's where he'll officially make his retirement, because maybe he does want to come. Maybe he does want him back. Maybe the Steelers do want him back, but he doesn't want to. Well, yeah, other way around, my fault. Maybe he does. Maybe the Steelers don't want him back, and he does want to come back, and they'll keep him if they have enough cap space, and we'll find out next week.
Maybe we'll. Maybe they're holding on to him at least until the draft for a smokescreen to make it appear that, like, they don't need any defensive line help as well.
Well, they need quick money. If they need quick money, they can cut him right now and re-sign him at the veteran minimum as well, too. So that could happen.
Exactly.
But I don't know if Aaron would want that. If that would happen, he might just say, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah. I'm 50-50 as far as what Hines Ward is going to, what's going to happen with him. I cannot get a good read on that situation. Where are you at on the Hines Ward situation?
Ooh, there's two different schools of thought here. What you think's going to happen and what probably is going to happen is I don't think there's any harm in Hines Ward coming back at a very, very reduced rate, if not the minimum. I don't see any harm in that being a mentor to these guys. What I think is going to happen is I think we're probably going to see his release here next week once they need to clear some more cap space, because and then I guess it's going to depend a little bit on what Mike Wallace's situation is, too. I mean, if they get rid of him and Cotchery, all of a sudden you got Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders, who's been hurt in the past two of his 3 years. So my feeling is they're going to end up releasing him coming up, and he's going to end up catching on Franco Harris in Seattle or something like that. And it's going to be a really ugly sight seeing him in a uniform like the Miami Dolphins or something like that, like after his final year in the league. But I don't see him coming back.
I agree. Any with the NFL Combine going on, anybody in particular you're gonna be interested to see?
You know what, Dave? I'm not much into this Combine stuff. Be honest with you, usually you're traveling or doing something else on Saturdays during the year.
Oh, you mean you have a life? You have a life?
So you really don't watch a ton of college football. So for me to sit here and say, this guy's good, we're looking for this, I'd be lying to you. I'm sure you have a much better grasp of who to look at and who the Steelers might fit in with the Steelers than me. Once they get to the Steelers, then I'll take over.
I hear you. Mark, good stuff as always. I always appreciate your insight and always enjoy talking with you on Twitter. You really have mastered Twitter. It's funny how looking back, you start on Twitter and all like that, and now you pretty much, you're on there 24/7 like I am now. So for those interested, you can follow Mark on Twitter, @MarkCabali_Trib. Read his work every day in the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. And Mark, once again, I appreciate your time, and I'll be talking to you on Twitter.
All right, Dave. Take it easy.
Dave, great stuff there with Mark. Always great to have him on. Mark, thanks for your time. Looking forward to Combine stuff this weekend, getting more information. Important to remember, this is a piece of the puzzle. Read some of Michael Lombardi's stuff on NFL.com, the articles he put out about how guys like Jeremy Lin fall through the cracks on an NFL basis. That was an article that was out last week. And then he talks about the combine, and he has some interesting views on drug testing, whether guys, you know, guys who go don't work out at the combine and then have their pro day at their college a month from now can get on a program and they're not re-drug tested. So interesting idea that he thinks should be implemented. Talks about some other things that go on there and how, you know, you have these super workout guys who turn out not to be great football players and how organizations can make mistakes. So I'll point you that direction. Thanks, as always, for listening. Steelers Depot has been all over this cap stuff. If you're listening to this, I'm sure that's your go-to website, so you probably already know that. But tell your friends to get to Steelers Depot. Tell your friends to sign up for the podcast. We got a great email from a guy in Iceland. I don't have the email right in front of me, but in Ireland. Jesus, he's going to kill me for that. A guy in Ireland. Great to know that we have listeners really all over the world. That makes it fun for us. Dave, anything else you want to throw out?
I think the guy that you're talking about is Callum Ferguson. Does that sound correct?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, we got a great email from him, and we appreciate that. We appreciate everybody that listens. Feel free, you know, shoot us up on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David
Did
at
Did you just say shit us up on Twitter?
Maybe. I get shit up enough on Twitter, so why not you? Hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Depot, at Hammer Speaks. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can send us an email, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. And we'll try to get them on over these next couple months and give you a shout out as well and try to answer whatever questions the best that we can.
That's it. We'll wrap it up. That's season 2, episode 80 of The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.